Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone, welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 1161. That is insane that we're still doing this. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me, I have a special guest here, Kate Sanchez. Kate, I know you have your own website you want to mention and talk about it very quick, briefly. And what is it that you do? Because people are probably wondering, like, who is Kate?
Yeah, so I'm a pop culture critic. I am a Rotten Tomatoes critic for film, and then I also do games criticism as well. And I'm the EIC of But Why Though Geek Community. We're a pop culture website, entertainment website that does literally everything: comic books, manga, anime, movies, TV, video games, everything. But we do it from a diverse perspective, making sure we're uplifting marginalized voices through our writing and giving people a space and a community to call home where they may not see one otherwise.
Yeah, this is awesome that we're finally talking like this, you know. So we never, yes. I know we always interact on Twitter, but we never had a conversation. And there's a reason why we're here. There's a reason why. So before I mention why, it was because of you. You know that, right? I saw a tweet that you posted, and it got my attention. And I'm going to say it briefly here because I know people are going to be asking, like, what is it Danny's talking about? So Kotaku wrote an article saying something like about previews of Far Cry 6, do it the right way, I know, do it this way or something. I can't remember exactly the name of the title. So I saw you tweet that you asked, okay, is this person that wrote this piece on Kotaku, have they contacted Latin creators about the game, etc., the good and the bad about it, and which I really doubt that happened. And I saw your tweet and I said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to say something too, because I felt like that piece was very unprofessional, very trashy, the way how he was dissing other publications too. And I think that's not cool. That's not cool. You might have different opinions about other outlets, but do it your own way and that's it. You don't have to diss other people because of the way how they wrote the article, right? But anyway, so what was it that got your attention about that article that made you wanted to tweet that too?
What got it for me was that there wasn't any talk, because I get from the perspective that, oh, it only mentioned like the mainstream sites. And we all know that mainstream sites are hella white all the time. But I actually felt that there was quite a few, you know, Latinos in the room. Like, my session alone had two folks from Mexico City, like, talking about Mexico City while we were all waiting, like, in the general things. Like, this is probably one of the very few times where, like, I went to your preview and it actually felt really inclusive. And I know that we were out there doing the previews. We were out there doing the interviews. We were out there creating the content. Mm-hmm. And then this entire piece ended with like, oh, well, I took a lot of heat because I had said that it's going to be a big discourse. And I'm like, but so were the brown folks. Like, we've been talking about this game since announcement. I know I personally have been very loud about like my apprehension about the game. And I brought that energy to my review as well. I brought up what I said in the past. I brought up what I saw in the game. And I brought up like what still needs to happen for me. Mm-hmm. And I know that other Latino journalists did the exact same thing, but we were nowhere in that piece. And so for me, it felt like a person was just centering themselves in the conversation, saying, I told you all this was going to happen. I told you nobody was going to talk about this. I'm like, but yo, we are talking about it. The majority of the stuff that we've done, like, we have talked about it because it's our identity. Mm-hmm. And there's very few Latinos in video games as a character that you can play. Mm-hmm. Like, very few, even fewer when you're in a setting. And, you know, problems that I have with marketing aside for the game, we deserve to be at that table to play it and talk about it. And when we present our coverage, it deserves the respect of being included in those things.
Yeah.
And I understand if you're going to critique IGN or, you know, any of the other folks, I get that. But you know how you turn that piece around? You say, hey, I didn't see any of this here, but I read and I saw from these Latino content creators who are at indie sites, who are doing their own thing, running their own podcasts, their own YouTube channels, and you include them in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Because then it's not just a woe is me hit piece. It's actually saying, I didn't see this stuff coming from major publications. I'm going to use my platform to uplift the people actually doing the work that I said no one was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And look, for me, I haven't really posted my preview, but I've been vocal about it. Like I, even yeah. before this preview event, I mentioned that there were certain voices that was in the game, that voice actors that it didn't sound Cuban to me. You know, I lived in Miami for many years, and I also have family that are Cuban. My co-host, he's half Cuban, Peter Toledo. So we talked about that, you know, there's other stuff that we mentioned on the show and everything, right? But when I sat down with the dev team from Ubisoft, you know, I asked them a lot of great questions about, is it political? We talked about how they did the research on, did they ever went to Cuba? I even mentioned, hey, what type of food you ate over there? Like, you know, we went deep talking about all that stuff, right? And this wasn't even mentioned about that. Like you said, not even one word about a Latino or Latina that wrote an article about this, you know? Like, I feel like you've been very vocal about it because I see your tweets, you know? but here's the thing. Like, I had a great time with the game, and we talked about the good. We talked about the bad, and it was cool. And look, as a person that lived in Dominican Republic, which is part of the Caribbean island too, for those who don't know, it reminded me of home. You know what I'm saying? There were certain things that I was doing in the game that I instead of riding a car, I was like, oh, let me ride a horse. You know, I talked about that. Like, it was cool, you know. And even the music, it reminded me of growing up in Dominican Republic, like, you know, listen to that old school salsa, merengue, you know. So from that part, I had to definitely mention that because there's people that never experienced that. They're not Latino. Yeah. They never lived in the Caribbean. They don't know anything about Cuba and how people are living over there with having a dictator over there, you know? So I had to ask those questions to Ubisoft about it. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So it was cool that you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, and I did it with my coverage too. Like, I, like, at the very beginning of my preview, I said, this is what I brought into it. Mm-hmm. There's a very certain voice actor who everybody thinks is Latino, and he very much isn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the accent's real off for me.
Yeah.
And no, here, XYZ. And then I went into the gameplay because I actually enjoyed the game. And I even said that in it. I was like, there's little pieces of it that feel good and real, and the environment is beautiful. But for me, it was all the women in charge of the revolutionary pieces, because mm-hmm. women have been in charge all throughout South America, all throughout Latin America. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm Mexican, so like I grew up with stories about Adelitas and like all of this. And it for me, seeing those pieces, and obviously with what we got to play, like, we didn't dive super into it, and I can't wait to dive into it to see what they do there. Mm-hmm. Like, that was something for me that was really important because of the role that, you know, Latinas have played in revolutions, and actually getting to see them put at the forefront and not just somebody on the side, and not even through player choice, you know, the who you get to play as a player, but actual women that you're reporting to in the storyline. So that for me was my real cool piece where I was like, okay, I got to mm-hmm. mention that this is happening.
Yeah, no, that's very important too, because, and I forgot to mention this to you right now, is in Dominican Republic, we had a dictator over there, Trujillo, right? So there's three sisters that were also against the dictator. Their name is Hermanas Mirabales, and a lot of people don't know about them, you know? So seeing that, yes, it reminds me of that too, man, of that history, you know what I'm saying? So they're really, really cool, really, really cool. But yeah, I'd had a great time. I had a great time with the game, and I can't wait to learn more about the story. And I honestly, I had a better time with this game so far, the stuff that I played, compared to the previous one, 5, you know?
Yeah, so, same.
Yeah, yeah. So what other things stood out to you as a Latina while playing Far Cry 6, in your opinion?
So for me, I expected to see a lot of very, very fair-skinned Latinos throughout the whole game. I was very happy with the diversity of skin tone, especially for Danny. Like, Danny is a brown woman, which is very nice to feel that I can play as, because a lot of the times when we do get, and this is across media, like this isn't even just gaming, like there's a very certain look that, you know, entertainment companies give what we look like, especially Latinas. So that for me was really good. I hope that there are more Afro-Latinos on, like, the quote-unquote good side of everything, because I feel like it was a little bit heavy-handed push towards, you know, the bad side. But for me, it was also, like, not even just the diversity of the skin tone, but how deep and rich the brown was. I talk about it a lot when I talk about animation. I review a lot of animation, and one of the things that happens when people animate brown skin tones is they don't put enough brightness to them. They don't use red undertones. They don't, like, it's not warm. And a lot of the times you end up with browns that are washed out. And I actually think the team, whichever team was behind actually working on those character models and getting that skin tone right, for me, that was what I really liked. And it's something small, and it's not like something grand, but it is something where I was like, oh yeah, that has the same undertones that my skin has. It, you know, it looks the way my skin looks like in the light. And I thought that was actually something that they did very well.
Yeah. And what are your thoughts about having a publication writing something like this without doing the research? You know, because when I saw it, it kind of bothered me, because I'm like, okay, this person never really did the research, so why would they? What is their agenda with this stuff? You know, with this post, you know. So, and you know, I posted something like, hey man, you need to contact other creators that were involved, and I bet you from the Latino side, and I bet you that never happened, you know. But it's quick. It's quick to diss people without doing your research, you know. And I know it's getting hits right now because of the controversy, you know. But what are your thoughts about that?
It annoys me, like in a very visceral way, because I feel like a lot of the times, and like I can speak from like my own experience building out my own site, like we go to indie publications, we start our own shows, and we do all this because a lot of the time we don't get spots in the main, you know, the mainstream pieces. But when you write an article like that and you don't actually do the research to like look at us, it feels like another layer of erasing. Like it's another major publication who is trying to call out the lack of diversity while also erasing the actual diversity that was in the room doing that coverage. And so it frustrates me because it was an article that, like, for me reading, I was like, this is just nasty. Like, this is just mean. But when I saw people responding to it and going like, oh yeah, you're right, like that kind of stuff, they all look the same for the most part. And I could see how if you don't know that we were in the room, you would think that that author was championing us. And I think that that's where it bugs me, because the lack of research is seen by people like you and me, but it's embraced by people who don't know that we were there. It's embraced by people who see something to get mad about and then get mad. And, you know, think that they're doing more by making a tweet, and they're really not. What they're doing is not actually uplifting the people that they're trying to point to.
Yeah, agreed. And I know earlier you mentioned that you went to a session, there was outlets from Mexico City, right? Which is awesome. You know, I actually, the other day I went to an event, and it was also Ubisoft. I'm not going to mention the name, but I'm there at the session, and they put me in this room on Discord, and they mentioned some name there that thought it was also going to be in that session. So when we were talking, they were like, oh, so do you want me to change the subtitles to Latin America? And I'm like, what? So I just stayed quiet. I was like kind of confused about the whole thing. So then I realized they had the wrong creator in that room. It was someone that was also from Mexico City that wanted to capture the game, right? And talk about it through their outlet. It could be on YouTube or blog, right? So when I saw that, I'm like, huh, that's cool. That's really cool to see that there's also more people in Latin America also being involved and getting invited to all these events. And it's awesome to hear that other Latinos from Latin America and in the Caribbean got invited to check out the game, man. Really, really cool.
Yeah, and I know that it's one of those things too. Like it's hard. So I actually run. We're mostly in the U.S., but I have folks in Canada, the U.K., and Mexico City that I work with. Mm-hmm. So when I set up things for them, like through press, whether it's film or games or anything, like I have to let PR know, like, hey, they are in this location. Can we still run with this and do it? And it's really nice to see that, like, they did include some. I know that even that article said that somebody had tweeted about not being included in that session. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder, what happened there a little bit, because it worries me. But then I also saw coverage from other Latin American outlets. So, like, it wasn't a Latin American thing, because they had Latin Americans mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
So that makes me curious, because I will say, like, the fact that they were able, and even you mentioned them turning on Latin American, like, subtitles, I'm assuming, and stuff.
Yeah.
That's important, because that means that they took time to localize the game for Latin America for a preview.
Yeah. Not for that game. I just want to correct you. But it was a different game. But still, even if it was cool.
Taking that step, even more so if it's not a game that's literally set in a Latin American equivalent. Like, if you're taking the extra step to localize content that you're inviting people to, mm-hmm. you're doing more.
Yeah.
I think that's something that, like, and I'm not going to talk about, like, the Ubisoft stuff in general. Like, it sucks overall, especially when you, like, have to talk about the inclusion that they're doing from the press side, and then, you know, with everything that goes on with them as a company, which, I mean, we all understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. But from the side of, like, especially for a game like Far Cry, like, I didn't expect to be in a room with somebody from Mexico City. I didn't expect to come into a room and hear people talking about Mexico City, like, actually talking about it, and, like, how they were either living there or had lived there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a feeling that I've never gotten in a game event. Like, I'm gonna be real honest, mm-hmm. especially running an indie publication, getting invites to previews is really hard. There are still a lot of AAAs that don't even, like, respond to our emails, even though we're, like, on Metacritic and accredited with them. Mm-hmm. And so fighting for that spot is really hard. And to be in a preview in a space where I know that there are other people like me as well, like, that just feels good. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that, like, they're perfect, but I think that, like, that piece is something that needs to be accounted for. And it also means that when you write your article, but he was talking about these things, I don't think you actually read where people were talking about it. Cause, like, mm-hmm. every written piece of content that I read from somebody who is Latinx, like, all of it mentioned the issues, either before or during, or, like, looking to the future. The tweets I saw from folks talked a lot about the same thing. Like, I'm mainly stuck to a lot of the articles. And it's just, like, it's just, I don't know. It just kind of hurts a little bit, because mm-hmm. I get the sentiment, okay, IGN didn't write this thing and you think that they should have done something more, but, like, we're out here, we're doing the work. And we're going to keep getting glossed over, and indie sites are going to keep getting glossed over if you just act like there are only 6 people producing content on video games. And I think that that's also the larger issue here. Mm-hmm. I know that one person from Kotaku tweeted out that it was about the overall entertainment industry and it wasn't about the indie sites. So I was like, but you didn't qualify that. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in that piece does it say that. It said all the previews that they had read.
Exactly. So exactly.
Either they explicitly didn't read any indie content and purposely erased us, or they weren't aware of it, or you just erase us because you only think that IGN, PC Gamer, you know, VentureBeat, like, you only think that they're the only people that are producing content. And so you wind up in another problem. And that's something that frustrates me, because it can't just be assumed that you mean mainstream stuff, because we're all out here doing work and you didn't qualify that statement before you made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that somebody posted that from the site. Interesting.
Yeah.
But I think that happened because us and a lot of other people were talking about it and mentioning it and talked about it on Twitter. And I think this is more like they're trying to clean up the mess that they made.
Yep.
That's what it is.
They stepped in it and now they're trying to scrape it off with a credit card or something. Like, it's not going to come off. Yeah. It's still going to stink.
You know, as a Latino, like I'm happy that we're getting to see now more of the studios creating games that they maybe take place in Latin America, right? Like Forza Horizon 5 is all in Mexico. So I'm very excited about that. Yeah. You know, Far Cry 6, yes, the place is not real, right? But it has that Caribbean, Cuban vibe, right? That the culture and everything, right? So it's cool to see that type of thing. So of course, us as Latinos, we have to be critical about the things that we see, because we know we've been through it. We've been there, you know, we've seen it all. And if there's things that we don't agree, we're going to talk about it. You know, imagine, let's go back last year when Spider-Man Miles Morales came out, you know, seeing him walking in East Harlem. Look, my mom and my family, they all lived in Harlem, right? So seeing that was pretty cool. And I'm seeing people dancing, some salsa, you know, Puerto Rican flag. I even found the Dominican flag in one of the locations in the game. You know, seeing that, it makes me smile, because we didn't have that back in the days in gaming, you know, and we're getting to see that more. And I think this is also going to help other people to be curious and they want to learn more about our culture. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we want this to be right. I want this game to be perfectly made and no mistakes, right?
Exactly. It's weird because, like, you end up with all these games carrying this burden of representation where it's like we've been in a drought for a while and we Latinos pretty much just get to be fighters in, like, whatever fighting game
or villains
or voiced by somebody doing a very bad Spanish accent.
Yeah, drug dealers or something. That's And that's an entertainment in general. You will see that.
Oh, yeah.
It's gotten better.
When I had David Ayer come at me on Twitter because I didn't like his movie where he was with that Shia LaBeouf thing. And it's funny because I come from film where, like, and just to throw a quick stat out there, in film, Latinos only make up 3% of speaking roles. 3% of all of film. Mm-hmm. We're literally the largest ethnic minority in. And that's just film. And I don't know what that stat is for games, because there isn't a parity to the types of reporting and, like, diversity institutes that, like, run that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But even if you ask somebody, like, hey, what's a game where I played a protagonist who was Latino or Latina and they weren't just, like, in a fighting game and it was a narrative driven game or, like, something like that. And you can't count the ones that you can make yourself. Very, very small pool. So it's cool to see stuff happen. And it also means that I'm going to be more critical of it when I see it, because yes, I'm a gamer. Yes, I'm a critic. I'm also brown. And if a game is making me feel really bad as a brown woman, that's going to come out. Like, I gotta, you know, gotta count that. But I'm really excited. I'm hoping what this shows, and I think Miles Morales and the success that had, especially as such a small game, kind of opened that door for more stories. And it was one of those things where I got extremely excited during that showcase at E3, where they brought us through everything that they were doing for Forza. Because for me, it's the little details. It's like, it's easy to throw somebody in a really big setting that, like, has different countries, right? Mm-hmm. But those nuances, the music, the food, the way people talk to each other, the type of Spanish that's being used, because not everybody uses the same type of Spanish.
Nah, it's totally different.
It's very different.
Very different. Yeah, it's like, you know, if a Dominican talks very different than a Mexican, you know? I have a cousin that she's half Mexican, half Dominican, and she talks totally different. than my family in Dominican Republic. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's cool. I mean, we're all in this together, of course, you know, but, but it's cool because now I learned the slang from Mexico, you know, they were learned from like Dominican Republic, you know, and other places. And I just love the food too. I want to eat some good food, you know?
I don't even remember who it was, but somebody on Twitter was literally taking screenshots of all the food that he was seeing in the Miles Morales. He was like, here's this thing. And he like named it and this and like all of that. And I was like, those tiny things, like, that's what kind of like lets you feel seen in a different way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just the aesthetic that you're picking up. It's not just an accent that you're picking up. You're actually taking the time to develop a world. And I think that's also why we see certain media pick up within our communities. Like, as much as Coco is a Mexican story, a lot of people appreciate it because of the small pieces that they tried to put in of culture, because you can see that and you can understand it. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, those things are really important. And also, I'm just very happy that games are giving us more than just Mexico, because I'm very tired of everything being limited to Mexico. That's not the only Latin American country, y'all. It's very far from it. And all of our cultures are amazing and beautiful, and they should all be celebrated. So yeah. I'm excited that the slate of video games isn't just Mexico, Mexico, Mexico.
No, I totally agree.
Cartel, cartel, cartel.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And here's the thing. You know, a couple of years back, I went to Dominican Republic. I mentioned this on the podcast already, but just in case if anybody hearing this for the first time. I went to Dominican Republic because I had to go over there to promote a documentary that I was in. And when I was there, I started talking to creators and also developers and also fans of just games. And the common theme that everybody was saying to me was they feel left out.
Yeah.
They feel left out. And they're very talented over there. And then in other countries too. You know, so I said to myself, I have to find a way so they don't feel left out. And I also got people involved from the industry here to travel with me to Dominican Republic and for us to just have like a session, a kind of like a little mini E3 for Santo Domingo. And it was cool seeing that. It was very inspiring, you know, seeing the developers showing the games and you see the people playing their games. Like, it was really, really cool to see that. And I want to do more of that stuff in the future and just give back. And I don't want people to feel left out. You know what I'm saying? So by companies creating these games and showing different parts of the world, people that live in those countries are not going to feel left out, because now companies are showing their culture. They're showing their country. You get what I'm saying? So yeah. I always say, representation matters, man. And it's good to see that. And if there's something that it's not well done, we're going to mention it. We got to criticize it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's something that I think a lot of people miss, like when they're like, oh, and I think that it's also something especially critics feel too. Like, perfect example. Mm-hmm. I gave the Selena series a 3. That thing was atrocious.
It was pretty bad.
It was so bad.
It was bad. I tried.
It was so bad. I had to start drinking in the middle of it. But that is to say, there is like this bad feeling that you get to, because you're like, this is representing for us. Mm-hmm. What happens if it doesn't do well? Will they green light the next thing? Like, and you have to, and I know that like I deal with it, or I dealt with it when I first started a lot more than I do now. It's like this feeling that like I'm forced to protect the things to get something else. And it took a while, and where I am now in this is like, if you want better representation, you have to actually call out when something bad happens. And you don't have to completely wreck it unless they put a girl in some really ridiculous butt pads. Then you have to. But you can call it out and offer how to do it better. And yeah, it sucks that it falls on us to do that because we're doing more work. But at the same time, we have to show a pathway forward. We have to show how we get to a spot where we can look back and say, oh yeah, this is really good. And I think that we see that a lot happening, and there's a larger sense of it because there is an ongoing conversation of variances and diversities within the Latin community and how different we are. Like, one of the things that I think is really important is continually like making sure, if this is a Latino cast, are there any Afro-Latinos involved? Like, because that is a part of our culture and our community, and you need to represent them. And those things can happen. And it doesn't always have to be a giant battle. It can just say, hey, this is what you could have done better.
Yeah.
And we need to, and you need to acknowledge it. And now let's move to the next thing and do better. And I think sometimes people think you're like burning and salting the earth, but you're not. You're just pushing for the next step. Mm-hmm. Because we should not be having to fight for scraps at this point. Not with as much money that, you know, Latinos put into the U.S. economy. Not with as many of us as there are. And not with how much we give in just sheer creative force. Both in our beauty and our aesthetics, but also in our power and our talent. There's no reason for us to be relegated to the side. And there's no reason for us to say, oh, well, I can't ask for that. I'll be happy with this. No, keep asking and keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Do you think people are just afraid to criticize because they're going to miss that opportunity, but that contact? You think is that?
Yeah, I think it is. Right. I'm not going to lie. I was very shocked when I got reached out to for Far Cry.
Really? Why is that? Because I feel like you're very talented. I feel like,
yeah.
I mean,
it was because I was very loud. I think that's what it was. Like I try to be leveled in my critique of things, especially if I haven't like played it or seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But this one made me mad when it first got announced and I was really loud. And the easy play for them would have been like, well, we'll work with the Latinos, but not the ones who automatically, like they could have easily assumed that I was going to have a chip on my shoulder going in and I wasn't going to give the game a chance. Because film does that all the time. And it may just be because I'm used to film. Like if you tweet about a film, they're not going to send you the screener. Like that happens all the time and it sucks. But that didn't happen. Like I got invited to it. I got to release something on embargo with everybody else. Part of this, and I got to actually give the game a chance, which I think was really important. And I think that there is a fear, especially when you're small, of not being able to progress.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm in a unique space where this isn't my full-time job. I have a full-time job outside of it. And like, I already get ignored by AAAs. So like, if I'm going to email you 10 times and you're still going to critique your game, sorry, I just had to pay for it this time.
Yeah.
So, and I think that people need to, it's an understandable fear to miss out on the contact or the opportunity, but it is also something that you have to get over because you also have to be true to what you're doing. You can't just say nice things in hopes of getting something later on because then you're not doing actual content. You're not actually showcasing it because being able to be critical is a skill too.
Yeah.
And it's a very important one. Mm-hmm. And so like especially for our site and with the writers that I work with and I train, like it is very much about finding the balance of like, okay, I know that you gave this a 3. This is very harsh. Let's see if we can actually make it constructive. And we never tell people to say a nice thing. We just say, okay, this stays, but also let's turn this into a constructive statement. Which like, I've had my own editors do to me when, like, I submitted my Selena review, for example. but yeah, it's a process, and I think that people just need to learn to kind of live with that fear and understand that, like, yeah, sometimes it'll be warranted, but a lot of times, do good work and it will show through.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I hope I got the preview thing.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad that you just being yourself. It's not like, oh, let me change because I got invited from Ubisoft. No, you were just being yourself. And the same thing with me. I just had a conversation, you know, with the dev team. So, but I want to ask you about this. Like, what is it that stood out to you gameplay-wise of Far Cry 6 that you were like, man, this is awesome. This is pretty cool. You know, is it the weapons? Is it the companions? The world? What is it?
The companions. That little gator in his cute little jacket.
Yeah, with a gold teeth.
Yes.
Yeah, that
Guapo
was cool.
Is amazing. I very many times died for Guapo and that he went down and dropped what I was doing, abandoned the mission, and went to go save him.
Yeah.
I really like companions, but one, they're adorable as all hell. But I thought I was gonna be playing Chorizo and I ended up playing Guapo the entire time.
Same here.
He fit my play style. Yeah. I don't have time to be stealthy and, like, do, like, distractions. Like, I want my amigo to jump in and just start eating people. So then I can go and just start shooting people because that's how I play. And so I actually like the way that the companions were built wasn't just somebody with you going through. It was actually a companion that was fit to a certain style of play. So I can't wait to see Chichero and then like the other ones that were yeah. locked. But that stood out to me because it's very easy to make an AI come in and just do the same thing each time mm-hmm. or just be there to attack a target you're attacking or attack one point out. But to actually make one that fits a play style and kind of works into the whole customization aspect, mm-hmm. that's a little bit harder. And so that I appreciate. And yeah, a little jacket.
Yeah, yeah, right? It was cool. Yeah. And I was like, man, I don't want him. I want the little dog, you know. So I was and I kept on playing with him, like, let me just continue. And I had a great time yep. with him, man. So and I never changed him. Never. But here's the thing. So I know in the beginning of the preview event, they turned off the audio of the music because you were gonna capture it. They didn't wanna because there's licensed music in the game too. I forgot to mention that. Yeah. But I said to myself, man, you know what? I'm going to turn it on because there's a mission where there's a track that plays throughout the whole – it's part of the story. But it plays it throughout the whole campaign of that mission. And I just love the music so much. So once I was done with that mission and I went and I found a car, I said to myself, yo, I'm going to turn this car – turn on the radio and I want to hear the music, what type of music they have there. So I heard like reggaeton and I heard other things that I'm like – It sounded perfect for the game because music to me is super important in games because that is where it's going to get me excited, nervous, you know, or whatever the situation at the moment that while you're listening to that music, you know. So it was cool hearing that in
also
the game.
The parts where like Danny will sing along to it, like small little things.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And here's the thing: for those who don't know, Cubans also in Miami they'll say "Qué bola." That's like, hey, what's up? So they were saying that a lot in the game. I'm like, okay, they got that right. They got that little slang right, you know, little things here and there. But
for me it was coño because I have a Cuban friend who like that like I learned what that meant because I was with them in their family.
Coño,
yeah, because we don't use it. Like Mexican Spanish doesn't use that. Like we just say wait most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that for me was, I was like, oh, that's nice. I think they overused it a little bit too much because it was like everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
But I thought that actually using slang that fit an area was pretty important because We don't say the same things.
Yeah. You know, there's a character. Her name is Honron.
Yes.
I was cracking up because as a Latino, it's like, it sounds, it is home run, but they're doing it in a lot, like the little Latino slang way, like Honron, you know?
So good.
Yeah. Like, it's like, spoilers for those that haven't watched In the Heights, but there's a part in the story of how Usnavi got his name. So it reminds me of that. I'm like, oh my god, this is hilarious. This is hilarious.
It was so good. And I think we all have like those little family memories of like how somebody in our family said a specific word or like how people we grew up said it. And that's just how you say it now because that's what you grew up saying.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I actually I wasn't the person I was playing with for co-op wasn't a Latino, but I realized that in the middle of it, and I just started laughing at myself because I was like, oh, yeah, that's her name. And she's in baseball clothes. This is hilarious.
That is hilarious. Yeah, that's really cool. Really, really cool. Yeah, and I love the way how you control the game. And like you said, mm-hmm. controlling the companions was very, very good too.
And the fact that it's actually savable co-op, I think that that's really important to me. Because that was – so my husband and I, we're both gamers. We both run the site. But like one of the things that keeps us like is our decompression time is being able to play games together and playing it in a co-op sense. And we were going to try Far Cry, but then we realized that it doesn't save progression for both accounts. It's only one. Mm-hmm. But now for Far Cry 6, they are doing that, which kind of gives me more of an incentive to play co-op with people, even not just him, because I actually get to save what I go through. That was a nice little touch for me.
Yeah, that was really cool. Really, really cool. Now, what's next for you? What you know, I know you already posted your article. Do you see yourself writing more articles about Far Cry 6 or any other games that's coming in the future or what?
Yeah, so I have a couple of articles in my mind that I'm trying to mull over for Far Cry 6. I have one outlined, but I need to write it and see if I actually need to play more of the game or if I can release it as a preview piece. Mm-hmm. I think I'll be doing a co-op review of the game. I won't be doing a full review because I haven't played as much Far Cry, and we have somebody on team who has literally played every Far Cry multiple times, so that's they're good. Probably better equipped to do that than me. Mm-hmm. But I will be giving my perspective from a co-op piece, and I have a preview event for a really cool game that will be dropping later this week on Ooh, my timeline, so cool. That will be fun. There's a lot of music in that one. Awesome. Yeah, and other than that, I'm like, I do more film stuff than game stuff a lot of the times. So I'm about to go into covering back-to-back film festivals.
And TV series.
So I'm gonna be tired.
TV series. Yeah, because yeah. I saw your Loki post before it came out. Yeah, I love Loki. And I love What If. Oh my god.
Oh gosh, it's so
Episode 4. Oh my god, it's up there. That's so good.
It's so good. My big thing. My big thing I'm covering probably for the rest of the year is I'm covering Star Wars Visions, and I'm very excited to be doing that.
Very excited about that.
I am like an anime fan through and through, and I love Star Wars, so I'm going to be doing that. So I got a lot of content coming out.
That's good. And mention your website for those that like to visit, and also mention your social media accounts if anybody want to follow you.
Yeah, you can find me at Oh My Mithrandir on everything, Twitter and Instagram. Instagram is all of my content. Twitter is just kind of chaotic a little bit. And you can find all of my work at butwhythoughpodcast.com. It is a community that we built from the ground up to give people a home in gaming, entertainment, TV, film, everywhere. We also have a discord.gg/butwhythough. You can come in, join our conversation. We do movie nights. We do Mario Kart nights. We just kind of chill and hang out and talk everything pop culture. Mm-hmm. We actually had a pretty big conversation about what we're talking about now. So it's a really cool space that we've kind of cultivated for us. So, and follow But Why Though on social medias at But Why Though PC on everything.
Yeah, make sure to follow them. Now, I have one last question before we wrap it up. You know, Hispanic Heritage Month is coming up. What you would like to see this time around? Because last year I was very disappointed on how the gaming industry overall was highlighting Latinos last year, and there was barely anyone. They got highlighted. Yeah. There was a very small group of websites that they did, and I hope it changes for this time around. What you would like to see this time around for you?
I would like to see a campaign or a spotlight that runs from the day it starts in the middle of September to the day it ends in the middle of October. Mm-hmm. Because I'm getting really frustrated, especially on the gaming side, of seeing them pull out all the stops for everybody. And then it's like, oh, yeah, like it's 2 months. Oh, we should probably do something.
Yeah.
Like, few and far between does it ever feel like there's an actual campaign plan. And more times it feels like reactive to, oh, people realize we forgot about them. And they'll, you know, they don't do anything. And I actually, like, I do want to take time to be like, I hope that what I do want to see is I hope that publications, companies, all of that saw what people mentioned last time and adapted it. Because I know that you can do that, because I wrote a pretty lengthy email to Shudder 1 year when they didn't give us Hispanic Heritage Month for horror. And the next month, or the next time it came around, they had full programming. They did a really good job of highlighting voice. Mm-hmm. And I want to see that type of care where, like, okay, we listened.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for doing that, because I think that helps every industry overall.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to be vocal about it and talk about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, no, but Kay, I just want to say thank you for joining me super last minute. I was like, you know what? I'm going to talk about this. I want to talk about this.
I was at Subway, and I was like, oh, yes, I guess I'll go home now.
Yeah, hey, you know? And it was a great conversation, because, look, to me, everything happens for a reason. So it's good that we had this conversation, and hopefully we can have more of this in the future. So thank you so much for joining.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.